Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. Wonderful to be able to open up God's word for another day and see what he has to say. We're going to be turning back to the Gospel of Matthew again and turning to the remainder of chapter 21. So if you've got your Bible with you, turn with me there to chapter 21 and we're going to read from verse 23 through to the end of the chapter. But before we read that, let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot benefit from your word unless you cause it to bear fruit in our heart. So we pray that your spirit would illuminate the text, give it light that we might see and grow and know and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same, and he answered, "I go, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, and did not afterward change your minds and believe him." Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it, and dug a winepress in it and built a tower, and leased it to tenants, and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit, and the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death, and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. Well, this section here has sort of these three sections, and they're all interconnected. I thought about looking at one at a time, but there is a connectedness which I wanted to highlight today, and that is that from this challenge of the authority of Jesus flows out these two parables of Jesus. And they're all connected along a similar theme, and that is really who is the authority and who has the kingdom of God. There are many assumptions as to who will be a part of the kingdom of God. And even today, if you are to go around the world and speak to different people and ask them, maybe not in the language of kingdom of God, but who will live forever, who will go to heaven, and use some vague words, you're going to get a whole bunch of different answers. In the West, you'll often get answers like, I'll go into heaven because God's a nice God, or I'll go into heaven because I'm a pretty nice person. If you ask people about their grandmother, they'll say, well, my grandmother was a really lovely lady. She always tried to do what was right and good, so she'll go to heaven. If you speak to Muslims, they'll say, well, if you've prayed and if you've followed the five pillars of Islam, if you've gone on your trip to Mecca, if you've done all these different things, then, well, yes, you should get into heaven. And if you're a Mormon, then, well, you've believed in Jesus and then you've made sure you've done the sacraments and you've followed the law and you've obeyed the fathers and the teachings of all the leaders of the church and etc. And so there's all these different ideas and assumptions of what you have to do to get in. And it was the same at the time of Jesus. There were assumptions on the part of the chief priests as to who's in and who's out. And who's on the good side, and who's on the bad side. And so we find in this passage here, the authority of Jesus to make statements challenged, and what he does challenged. So we remember, previously, we saw Jesus coming into the temple, back in verse 21, in chapter 21, beginning of chapter 21, we saw him come in. Then verse 12, we see him cleanse the temple, stirs up a whole bunch of trouble for himself. And the Pharisees now come back to Jesus the next day. Remember, he left, had the curse the fig tree. The next day he's come back into town again. And the chief priests come to Jesus. And they challenge him. They say, what authority are you doing this? You're cleansing the temple. People are praising you. People are worshipping you. You're teaching everybody. By what authority? In other words, who commissioned you? We're the chief priests. Who commissioned you to do this? And there's an underlying question behind the question. Or should I say underlying belief or challenge. There is an intention behind the question. Because if Jesus says, God is my authority, which is true, and in John he says that, if he says the authority comes from God, then they can try and have him up on blasphemy charges because he's claiming to be a son of God, or he's claiming to be like God, he's claiming something that no man can claim. If he says, well, the authority comes from the church, they would say, well, no, because we haven't commissioned you. We set people aside and we haven't set you aside. It'd be like if someone stood up in your church and started preaching and you said to them, wait, who said you could preach in the church? And they said, well, the church. And you say, no, they didn't. And what would you think? You say, well, God told me to preach in your church. You'd say, well, God may have told you to preach in the church, but the church hasn't okayed it. That's the sort of situation Jesus is in. But Jesus shows us really masterfully how to answer a fool according to his folly, as the Proverbs remind us. And so he just asks them the question. I'll ask you a question, answer my question, and then I'll answer your question. John's baptism, is it from God or man? Now, you realize that however they answer that question, Jesus is in the same boat. Because if they say he's from God, then yes, the Pharisees think, the chief priests think to themselves, well, then Jesus is going to ask us, why didn't we believe him? But the problem is, if they say yes, John's baptism was from God, then Jesus can say, I too come from God in the same way John did. Which leaves them with some real problems, doesn't it? And if they say, well, John's baptism was nothing but a man's baptism, and we didn't okay him, then they're going to have a crowd which stones them. But they'll be able to challenge Jesus and say, see, you're just doing the same thing as John the Baptist. So they're really in a bind, aren't they? Because if they answer truthfully with what the crowds and everybody else believed to be true, that this man came from God, then Jesus can claim the same thing. But see their folly. See their unbelief. They're so dug into their unbelief, and you've probably been confronted with people like this. They're so dug in their unbelief that they're prepared to lie and say, we don't know, rather than back themselves into a corner. And sometimes you get this with people, don't you? You're speaking to them about Jesus, and you feel like you've got really good arguments for why they should become a Christian, and you engage with them, and maybe you talk about archaeology, or you speak about the earth and age and creation, or you speak about moral law and the fact that there's a law written in the hearts of everybody and all this sort of stuff, and you go through this, and it's very clear to everyone in the room that your case is very compelling, and yet at the end of the day they still say, yeah, but it's not for me. Why? Because there's a spiritual blindness at play. And so Jesus illustrates the problem with these two parables. He tells the parable of the tenant, of the parable of the two sons, the one who obeys and comes in and the one who doesn't. And of course, it's the picture, isn't it, of what's happening with the sinners and the Pharisees. The Pharisees are missing out. They're saying they're in the kingdom of God. They're saying, yeah, we're a part of the kingdom, but they're missing out. And then there's the Gentiles and the tax collectors and the prostitutes who are saying, we know we're not a part of the kingdom of God. And they're entering because they're coming to Jesus. And I think this is an important reminder for us who are church people. We must not trust in our churchiness. We must not trust in our religiosity, in our baptisms, in our confession of faiths, in whatever it is that you can be tempted to rely upon. We must not rely upon those things, but we must rely upon Jesus himself. Jesus is the way to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus is highlighting here that the tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes are coming to him and receiving that, but those who are meant to be a part are missing out. And we must be very careful that we don't end up in the same situation where we assume we're a part of the kingdom of God because we've always been a part of the church, to only discover at the end of time that actually we've missed the point the entire time. You could be sitting here listening to this, but if you don't respond to Jesus himself, you will miss out on the kingdom of God. And then he tells this parable of the tenants. Very briefly, we have to touch on this. When we see this parable of the tenants, what is it highlighting? It's highlighting the way Jesus is received, isn't it? What's the point of Jesus? The point is that Jesus comes as the representative of God. Think back to the authority question. Where do you get your authority from? Where do you come from? Who says you can do these things? We're not confessing and acknowledging you who you are, who you think you are. Just like John the Baptist. Same situation. And Jesus highlights the reality of what's happening in this parable. He says, the Father sends the servants, prophets. The Father sends more servants, the prophets. The Father sends more servant, John. And you did what you wanted. You killed them, you stoned them, you beat them. You did all sorts of different things. So then the Father sent his son. And he's talking about himself, isn't he? And the son comes. And the tenants take the son and kill him. Now, this was a preposterous thing. Like this was just the most heinous thing that could have been stated at this point. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the chief priests recognize that. They say, verse 41, they said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. And there they judge themselves. They judge themselves because the son did come and they did do to him as they pleased. And God did take the vineyard. God did take the vineyard and let it out to other people. Look at the church. By 70 AD, there were more Gentiles than Jews. Well, maybe pretty even at that point, but within the first couple of centuries, it's overwhelmingly Gentile in flavor. And it just grows and grows and grows. Because they rejected the Messiah. Now, this has nothing to do with how you view Israel-Palestine right now. Just ignore that discussion completely. That geopolitical discussion has no bearing on this passage. This is about whether we receive Jesus or not. Jesus comes to us, and here's the thing, we now find ourselves, those of us that have grown up in the church, we now find ourselves in the place of the chief priests. We sit in the church, assuming we're a part of the church, and never really receiving Jesus. It's not enough for us to be born in the church and grow up in the church. We must receive Christ for ourselves. We ourselves must receive Jesus Christ. You know, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this, they perceived that he was speaking about them, and they sought to kill him. They sought to arrest him and kill him. And the question for you and I is, how will we receive this? When I say to you that there's a chance you might be listening to this devotion and going to church and be outside the kingdom of God, do you feel like switching this off or stoning me? Probably not stoning me, but you know. Or does it cause you to return once more to Christ and say, Christ, I want you truly to be mine? May it be so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word for another day, and we pray that you would give us hearts to see and believe and to benefit from this. Help us to receive Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Have a most blessed afternoon, and we'll see you tomorrow.